So this is Mike's study, the meat offering part two, and I'm going to do this like right down to frankincense, I think. So we'll do it in three sections. I think that will work out. The spiritual significance of the meat or meal offering. Leviticus 2, verse 1, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. The meat offering is the second of the five types of offerings: burnt meat, which is a meal, peace, sin, and trespass. The meal offering is of four ingredients. The first is finely ground flour. The second is with oil. The third is with frankincense. And the fourth is with salt. We've covered the significance of an offering which does not include the shedding of blood, an offering of the fruit of the ground. That fruit of the ground represents the offering of our flesh. Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yeah. We'll make it a little bigger there. That's better. Thank you. The fact that part of this offering is not burnt, but is given to the priest shows us that this is an offering whose emphasis is our debt to our fellow man who we are to see as Christ. Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then shall the king say unto them, the sheep on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you a hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So the sheep on his right hand, who feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, take in strangers, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and come to the prisoners, are the meat offering. This offering shows us Christ in us, but it is a certain part of Christ in us. This is Christ in us as finely ground flour of the fruit of the ground. It is Christ being ground to powder for us. It is also Christ being ground to powder in us. It is us being ground to powder for Christ's body, which is the church. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. What do we see here in Colossians? How can anyone say that there is something behind of the afflictions of Christ? Isn't Paul blaspheming? Did not Christ say it is finished? John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. How then can Paul say, I fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church? Paul can say this because Paul knew that it wasn't really him who was filling up those afflictions at all. Paul knew his Bible, and Paul had the mind of the Spirit. So Paul knew what this verse is all about. Exodus 20, verse 25. And if you will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, you have polluted it. While this offering shows us what Christ accomplishes in being bruised and crushed to powder for us, it also shows us that this is accomplished through us by having Christ in us. This is the only offering which is not a blood offering. It is an offering of the fruit of the ground. It represents what and how the fruit of the ground is given in service to God. It represents our good works toward our fellow man, who is also Christ. And we just recently talked about that, so this is so timely. The fact that it must never be offered without a blood offering tells us that our good works alone cannot save us. The fact that it is always offered with a shed blood offering tells us that our good works are not our works at all. They are rather Christ in us. Galatians 2, verses 20 and 21, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by my own efforts of keeping the law for the lawless, then Christ is dead in vain. Whose work are they if they are worked in us? Question. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. In Ephesians 2, verses 6 now, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of our own works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this answers the question, whose works are they if they are worked in us? And all glory to God. And we know the scriptures that talk about our casting our crowns back. At the end of the story, we acknowledge all of the gold that's tried and purified in our lives that form those crowns that eventually get formed are all being accomplished by God the Father through Christ. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Is in the ages to come an is, was, and will be statement. What says the scriptures? 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. And that's interesting. Taking heed that you think you stand, when we know it's the Lord who's causing us to stand. The very next verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, is the one that says he won't try us beyond the measure that we can endure. He makes a way for us to go through the struggles of this life. And he takes away our confidence in our flesh, of course, so that we don't think we're standing by our own power, but we all do until we don't. God takes away those things, and that's why we have trials, of course, So he brings us to a place of trusting and recognizing his mercy. That is the meat offering. It is bruised for him. Isaiah 28, verses 28 and 29. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Bread corn is bruised. That is what we are if we are to be of service to our brothers. We must fill up in our flesh what is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. That is the finely ground and even consistency of the meat offering. It was not just finished 2,000 years ago on the cross. It is, was, and will be being finished in our bodies for his body's sake, which is the church. So another way of looking at this is we're bringing in that storehouse. If you remember in Malachi, where Christ says, bring in the tithe. And our life, it represents our whole life. And each one of us, we supply whatever God works in our lives. Every joint supplies in love. We build each other up. And we're building up that storehouse, not just for ourselves, but for those who will come to know God's love through us, through the church, the nourishing words of life that will bring in time. And it will happen in God's perfect time. Christ suffered not just from his enemies. He suffered from his own apostles, who left him to whatever the Jews and the Romans wanted to do to him. What the two-horned, like a lamb beast, wanted when he opened his mouth and spoke as the dragon was Christ's death. And the seven-headed beast, which the two-horned beast rode upon, was willing to accommodate him. Matthew 10, verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. So we are our brother's keeper, or each other's servant. God works that in us, and he brings us to see if we can and we must be each other's servant and esteem each other better, like Paul said in another scripture. That's the preparation. That's the groundwork that God's working with this meal offering. So we can truly be servants in the days to come when the world finally learns who are these people. Well, they'll learn that just like Christ came not to be served, but to serve, we'll be sent out to do what he did. We'll be servants. And we'll be, of course, obeying the commandments of God and doing what the Lord would have us do. Luke 6, verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 3, verses 12 to 15. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, of his father the devil, John 8, 44. And slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? And it's the same reason they slew Christ, because of envy. Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. And we know loving the brethren means keeping the commandments of God, acknowledging the commandments of God, like we heard yesterday in the study. These are the commandments of God, acknowledging the order in the body of Christ, those things that God has ordained that are not understood in the flesh. The world can't understand them. But we're blessed to acknowledge them and recognize the benefit and the blessing of having order and having a family and having this relationship with our Lord that strengthens us, nourishes us like this meal offering does. But the big point tonight is the meal offering doesn't come without a cost. It comes with the afflictions of this life, the much tribulation, the persecution, the suffering that God has called us unto. And knowing that, he will make provision for us and strengthen us with the blood offering. Through the life of Christ, we'll be able to endure that process that we must go through in order to become a valuable work, part of his workmanship, fit unto the masters. There's a verse in Timothy, made fit unto good works, something to that effect. So that's all the work of God, and he's the one who knows what we have to go through to bring us to that place. So the storehouses are ready. And it's exciting because as we're getting closer and closer, we know that the Lord is preparing that bride, and that bride will have all of that resource that's been developed within us for the sake of the world, for the world's sake. So I'm just going to read this last section here from here, 1 John 3:14, or I'll read from 12 rather. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one of his father, the devil, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And Christ says, we will be hated by all men. And there's the reason why, because of the work that Christ is doing through us. So it's very confirming. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And that's our study. We'll stop right there. Thank you all for coming out.